Good evening, everyone. Today's the very first episode, episode one of the JunkCast. I am your host, Thomas Bessie. This is my co-host.
That's me. I'm Garrett Estrada. Very exciting time.
Very exciting. So we're the Brain Dead Junkies, and our mission in life is to get everyone that listens to us hooked and completely addicted to what we're hooked on, which is video games, movies, and TV. And
whatever. You might be trying to get people hooked. I'm just trying to talk about shit because I like hearing my own voice.
No, I want a following. I want, like, Facebook's going to be like, everyone likes this.
Like a cult leader?
Yeah.
Like a religious person? Like a Jesus? You're going to be the next Jesus? Bearded
Jesus? No, I'm not a prophet.
Okay.
Like, all right, we're going, letting people know.
We're going into territories I wasn't even prepared in the first 30 seconds of this, so let's get back on track here. So tell me a little bit about this podcast.
So this podcast is Garrett's idea, and then...
That's right.
It started off with, like, hey, what are we going to do? And we decided to do TVs, because I watch a lot of TV.
Tom watches an excessive amount of TV, an unhealthy amount of TV, 80% of which is Law & Order.
This is actually very accurate. I watch Law & Order. To be fair, I watch the original Law & Order, which is the best Law & Order by far, no matter what anyone tells you.
You're the only person that makes sense to. Everyone else, Law & Order is one thing.
No, SVU is shit.
Okay. Okay, I'll take your word for it. I can't say anything. I haven't seen it.
Dude, one of these days, I'm going to get you hooked, and I'll be watching 20 years of Law & Order.
I can't handle 20 years of Law & Order. That's like a soap opera at that point. That's days of our lives in court.
Yeah, but you don't have to, like, get attached because it's, like, separated. But anyways, we're veering off topic. We also talk about video games.
I love video games.
That's right.
Tom loves video games.
I do like video games.
I love them more.
TV. Yeah, you do love them more.
But that's just me. I can talk about video games all day long.
So we're both very huge movie buffs.
Yes. I also love movies.
Garrett actually writes for the Las Vegas Rebel Yell.
Yeah. I guess you could call it the UNLV Rebel Yell. I don't know if it's really Las Vegas-wide. It's more just campus-wide. Anyway, the point is I write movie reviews. I get to go see free movies from time to time. I try to bring Tom along, unless I can find someone who's a girl instead of a dude, so I don't have mandates all the time.
But no one's hurt by this.
I'm happy with it. I mean, it works out for me. So, and Tom watches different movies than I do, so we'll kind of have a somewhat rounded view of movies. Yeah. Maybe not a bunch of chick flicks, but I mean...
Do I watch chick flicks all the time? I really do.
I don't know what that says about you. I don't know what to think about you right now. But
well, like, some were good.
You won't be getting any chick flick reviews from me, so...
Do your people watch Time Traveler's Wife? Pretty good.
That's so weird. I was hanging out with some people I just met for the first time yesterday, and they brought up Time Traveler's Wife, and I thought of you.
Because Rachel McAdams fuck is hot.
Well, I didn't think of, ooh, Rachel McAdams is hot, so I'm thinking about Tom. No, that would be okay. That's not where I was going with that.
You're thinking of Eric Bana, and I'm like,
I was thinking of Eric Bana, and then I was thinking about how I want another Star Trek movie, because he was in the first Star Trek. The first reboot of Star Trek.
Yeah, but he's dead.
Yeah, I know he's dead. Or is he?
It's Star Trek. They can get away with pretty much anything.
Yeah, dude. They're like, in a parallel universe already in that movie, and you don't even know what could happen.
Sure.
Eric Bana. There could be 10 Eric Banas.
So we're going to kick things off with a little something called like, what you've been doing this week, what you've been watching, what you've been playing, whatnot.
Yes.
So I'll kick it off to you. What kind of TV shows have you been watching this week?
Let's see. I have a small stable of shows that I go back to every week. I just recently, today, caught up with the most recent episode of Archer, so I've been very into Archer, and that was interesting. For any of you guys that don't know what Archer is, it's a very funny comedy show on FX.
Yeah.
It's animated, and it's, some people might think that that's a little strange, but it's actually a very raunchy adult. I guess.
Yeah, people like Family Guy and all.
Animated TV almost has got to the point where it's not weird for it to be like adult animated anymore.
No.
Because it's like, I guess there's StarCraft. There's South Park. I almost said Southcraft. So South Park and Family Guy. And,
yeah, so it's not that strange.
Okay,
It's on FX.
Yeah. It's wittier than either of those shows.
That's true.
It's got a banter to it. Maybe not as much social commentary.
Right.
As either of those, which is almost better in my mind.
Archer's pretty good.
Yes, I like it. I like Archer. Lots of ball jokes this week. I was a good amount of ball jokes.
Those are always funny. Like, don't knock ball jokes.
Well, I mean, like, certain people can't handle ball jokes coming out of their mouth. I mean, only skilled mouths can handle ball ball jokes.
All right.
This is bad ball jokes already. So let's see what else. I was really disappointed because I hopped on Hulu like I normally do every Friday to catch the episodes of Office and Community that I missed the night before.
Yeah, those have been on Hayes for like 2 weeks.
I'm really bummed about that. I got all excited. I figured since there was no new one last week that there would be a new one this week on either of those, but there wasn't.
Sporadic.
So I don't know what's fucking that up, if it's American Idol or Biggest Loser.
Yeah, I don't know.
But anyway.
A lot of TV stations are doing like... their big hits are on hiatus, and they're trying to get these little small hits like Perfect Couples, which I like.
That was on last night. I watched a few minutes of that. That was actually a little... I'd never seen that show before, but the few minutes I saw it was actually kind of funny.
Yeah, like with Olivia Munn's in it and all that, and I like it. It's pretty fun.
Right.
Like, so after Community, I watched that, and then whatever comes after that.
Well, we're not talking about what you watched this week right now. We're talking about what I watched.
All right.
So... let's see what else. I hopped on Netflix instant streaming because I got my dad watching the first season of The League.
Oh, love The League.
I don't know what I'm just being focused on NBC and FX right now, but back to FX. That's another great comedy about fantasy football. But more importantly...
it's not really about fantasy football. It's a very small part of that show.
I think they just incorporated fantasy football in to let husbands watch it by themselves, saying, oh, I'm watching a show about fantasy football, so their wives don't watch it, because it's incredibly racy. And my dad kept looking at me. He's about a 54-year-old man. And he kept looking at me and he goes, I can't believe this was on TV. Like, actual TV. Not like HBO or Showtime or anything. Because the jokes and just the shit they say is very, very raunchy.
Highly recommended, by the way. Great.
Yes. Great TV. If you like that kind of stuff. You don't even have to be a sports fan. Like, it helps because there's a few inside jokes. But it's mainly just like raunchy comedy, buddy comedy kind of stuff.
Is that really raunchy?
Oh, come on. Come on. Well, the episode I just finished watching with my dad was about vaginal hubris. So yeah.
Okay, so it's raunchy.
Yeah, so
I stand corrected.
There's plenty of raunchy. I mean, Eskimo Brothers. If you I'm not going to tell you guys what Eskimo Brothers means. You need to go
everyone
watch the show.
Is
it Eskimo Cousins? No, it's Eskimo Brothers, I think.
Both terms are used.
I don't know. Maybe it's like Eskimo Cousin Once Removed. Something. I don't know what that would
do. You gotta know your Eskimo tree so you get
the
hookups.
This is getting real obscure really fast down the Eskimo lane. So, and then the only other... sorry. The only other TV show I can think that I've been watching a bunch of, especially recently, I have this habit where I go back and find shows that I missed when they were on air. And,
which is another good reason like why all my shows are getting canceled, because people like you.
I know. I go back, well, because it's more convenient. I don't have the patience to wait, like, one episode a week. Like, it sucks enough for Archer and Kim.
Yeah, you know what your main problem is?
What?
You don't have DVR.
I really don't.
I don't think about that stuff. It just records, and it pops up, it's like, oh, dude.
I really, really don't. And let me say what I do have. I do have my mom, who still uses VCRs. She uses VCRs to record Days of Our Lives and Pretty Little Liars from my sister.
I feel like your family, like... they'll be in like a certain like the 70s, and then as soon as they hit that DVR, they would bring back to the 21st century.
I'm trying to convince them to get one, but they're, I don't know, something about a monthly fee that turns them off or something like that.
Just like $10.
I don't know. I end up just trying to watch them online or anything. Just finding like less legal ways of going about my... No, I mean, yeah, I pay for Hulu Plus and everything.
Dude, no one pays for Hulu Plus.
Bullshit. I know, that's a joke. But, yeah, so anyway, more importantly, I went back and started watching from episode one a show called In Treatment that ran on HBO for a little while. I think it's over now. I think there was
it got canceled in 2010.
Okay, so like it ended fairly recently. But I went back, there's about 3 seasons of it. But the first season, which I'm still on, is like 45 episodes long. So, granted, they're only like half-hour episodes, but they're HBO, so they're they're actual half-hour. They're not
40 episodes, pretty good for any series for a season.
Even like syndicated TV shows, I think only run for like 22 episodes
like
a season.
British TV, a whole series season for them is 13 episodes.
Well, British people are crazy. Yeah. Well, the first season of The League is 6 episodes.
Yeah, but that's on cable, and it's like a pilot season.
Anyway, HBO is bitchin', is what I'm trying to say. HBO is the best. So, yes, In Treatment's really interesting. It's about this therapist who sees 4 different patients. Each week he's visiting or in session with one patient. And then each 5th week he goes to his own therapist and tries to deal with his own issues because his patients are so messed up and so out there that he can't handle it himself. So it's like all kinds of therapy all the time. It's all dialogue based. It's like there's no
very like intimate character driven things. Like,
yeah,
there's no
yeah.
secret twist and plot other than what the characters reveal to you.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of like if I went into like a high level acting school and like was watching like just like an acting class where two people sit down next to each other and just act and they go through all these different emotions like anger.
Are the stories you think are interesting?
Yeah, like. It's holding my attention. I love just like lots of dialogue, you know, like I love all that kind of
stuff. So explosions aren't necessary for you?
No, like, you know what, they used to be at one point in time, but like every explosion starts to look the same after a while, but like rarely do you get like intimate conversations one on one, and especially the stuff that people spill to a therapist can be really interesting. So, so there's that. So besides TV, I watched a couple movies and played a couple games. Movie-wise, it was mostly Netflix this week. I didn't really hit the theaters at all. Although I'm planning on going pretty soon to go see some of the new movies, but we'll talk about that later. But I watched this movie called The Mystery Team, which I thought was pretty good. And that's from Derek Comedy, which is a comedy group that mainly prominently features Donald Glover, who, again, going back to Community, this is all a circle. This is very circular.
Do you have noticed, people, Community's pretty damn good.
Yes, go see Community. Watch it on NBC, because every time it comes to the end of the season, they're worried they're not going to get renewed. So it's a very
like
scary thing.
Every show except for like the ones that have been there for 5 or 6 seasons, like NCIS, no one's going to worry about that getting canceled.
I wish it got canceled.
No, NCIS is good.
Well, you like those type of shows.
No, like there's good crime drama, like NCIS and Castle, and there's bad crime drama, like CSI and
but I kind of like CSI. Well, like old school. I haven't seen any new CSIs in a long time. I've never seen any like the other city based CSIs. Only the original Vegas CSI, which is not very Vegasy at all.
Dude, if we're gonna start getting the crime dramas, I'm gonna bring up Law and Order and how it's the best. And you don't want to get in that conversation.
And everyone's gonna turn it off and go find better ways.
I have an intelligent debate on why Law and Order would be the best crime drama on TV of all time. Compared to what's on now.
I have no argument.
Pretty shitty crime dramas.
I don't watch any crime dramas whatsoever. I like my crime drama in feature-length film version, hour and a half, with lots of violence.
Okay.
So getting back to The Mystery Team, that's just a really stupid, goofy comedy by a...
Would you recommend it?
If you're into really stupid, goofy comedy movies, I would recommend it. It's funny. It's pretty low budget. It's fairly light affair. There's a lot of like obscure comedians in it that make small cameos. People I don't even like, not well enough known that I know their names. But, like, I recognized someone from Scott Pilgrim. I recognized someone from 30 Rock. I recognized a girl from The Office in it. So just like. Like
and
lesser,
I don't know any of their names.
I really don't, but they're funny. They're funny
all
people.
Right, all right. So what else?
Other movies. Haven't watched that many other movies this week. Recently, I finally got around to watching The Princess Bride, which apparently lots of people told me I needed to see. So I won't spend too much time on that because that one's much older. But if you haven't seen The Princess Bride, you should definitely check that out because that was a really funny comedy from the 80s.
I won't say cult classic, but.
It almost felt like it, because whenever someone brought it up and I said, I haven't seen that, they do the whole thing that I hate, where it's like, you haven't seen this movie? Insert whatever random movie that they apparently love. So, yeah, there was that. But anyway, I played a bunch of games. And by bunch, I mean mainly Killzone 3 and God of War 3. It's been a lot of threes on the PS3.
Oh, God.
It's been a three kind of week. Beat Killzone 3. I feel stupid just saying the word three over and over. I beat Killzone Triple, and...
No, stick with three.
And I beat God of War Trace. both those games were a lot of fun. I was about a year behind on God of War, and I have to say, the only thing I can literally say about that game is it's the most violent video game I can ever remember playing, ever.
That and Kratos is the biggest dick I know.
Yeah, Kratos is a huge dick.
Like, he can't even open a door with, like, take this guy's skull and bash smash it in there.
Yeah.
Boom.
It seems really unnecessary a lot of the time, but that's almost why it makes it like more unique and more fun in a way, like very sadistic kind of way. But yeah, so that had a pretty epic ending. I felt a little lost towards the end of the game because I hadn't played I hadn't played God of War 2, and they were referencing a lot of it. I went from 1 straight to 3, and there was a big time gap in there, so I got really lost in the story because I was way behind on all of it. But
do you know Zeus?
I know Zeus, and I know Kratos wants to kill Zeus.
Zeus took his powers away.
Okay, well,
and he's all pissed about it.
Well, Zeus gets beat up pretty bad at the end of that game. I don't think it's much of a spoiler.
No, it's not really much of a spoiler. It's like, hey, this is your main character, and this is the main villain. They're gonna fight at some point.
Yeah, it's like the same kind of spoiler. Like you're going to a James Bond movie, and it's like, P.S. the bad guy dies at the end. You know, like that kind of spoiler. So yeah. I hope I didn't spoil anything for you. But Zeus gets beat the shit out of it. So that was actually pretty fun. And how did I forget? I bought a 3DS. I bought a Nintendo 3DS, which I know you aren't too thrilled for.
Nah, it's Nintendo.
Well, you can't say it's just Nintendo.
I mean, I can for like the last couple of years.
Nintendo has always been like the biggest name in handheld gaming, and I must admit that I'm not super.
Maybe
thrilled.
Just a fan. I'm not a huge fan of handheld gaming.
Maybe. Oh,
there's certain games that I'm like, yeah, I'll play. Like I play my PSP, but I mainly play Final Fantasy.
I know. It's just because you have a hard on for Final Fantasy.
Yeah,
But yeah, I mean, like, I wasn't super thrilled with the launch lineup. I bought Super Street Fighter because that's the only one that's getting, like, positive.
So we're going to tell the people we've been playing on your 3DS.
Okay. So I traded in my DS and some other stuff to get some credit. And then I bought my 3DS, and then I bought Pokemon White, which is not a 3DS game.
Nope.
It is a Nintendo DS game.
So essentially what you're telling the public is you spent $300 to play Pokemon.
I did spend $300 to play Pokemon, and not even in 3D. But you know what? I don't regret it, because I'm already like 12 hours in, and I only have 2 gym badges, which is probably an obscure amount of gym badges for how much time I've played. But I just like running around in the tall grass, fighting people, and I literally get to the point, I'm super OCD when I play Pokemon. I fight about 2 battles, and then I run back to the Poke Center, and then fight about 2 battles, and then run back to the Poke Center. If one dude ever faints, I don't keep going for a while. I just run immediately back to the Poke Center.
Oh, man.
Yes.
Wrong.
Probably doing it wrong. It takes me way more time, but
basic RPG skills, you go into your dead.
Yeah, well, there's no Phoenix Downs in Pokemon. Once they're fainted, they're fainted.
Fuck.
They're not waking up for shit. So, unless Nurse Jackie or whatever picks them up. I think Nurse Jackie's a show, actually.
I think you're right.
Nurse Joy. Well, maybe. That was the old nurse. There's like a million iterations since then.
They haven't played Pokemon since like Red.
I don't even know what the main character's name is in this game. I think I named it myself. But like, I don't know what his actually name is supposed to be. Like, like the doctor that gives you your starting Pokemon at the beginning is a girl. Like,
so?
So, shit has changed.
Sex is mother.
Sex changed.
Is this something Professor Oak?
Well, no, that'd be funny if it was Professor Oak's wife, but no, it's something completely different.
Nah, just Professor Oak.
It'd be really funny if it was Professor Oak in a bra. Yeah, think about that. You can't ignore his
girth. I know the Japanese are weird. I don't think they're that weird.
You can't ignore his girth. So, anyway, now I will redirect the question back at you now that I've spilled my guts about what I've been doing this week.
Well, I watch, like, pretty much anything that comes on TV. Like, I have a set list of my DVR recording every show in the week. So I won't go into every show I watch, but I'll probably bust out the ones I think everyone should watch.
Well, are you going to get into specifics, or are we just going to talk generalities here?
No, I really think everyone should watch Castle, Nathan Fillion.
That's what I always wanted to watch.
It's pretty good.
I always wanted to see that.
Good enough where, like, if you miss a couple episodes, it's okay. Like, the characters are all generalized where, like, okay, we're going to solve this case. And the case gets solved. And then there's a little thing afterwards where the characters are like, okay, developing.
So what you're telling me is it's a TV show.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, this is not blowing my mind here. I mean,
no,
you got
just
me with
like,
Nathan Fillion, but then you started...
Nathan Fillion doing Nathan Fillion things, and the cases are kind of interesting. And the girl that plays Detective Beckett, they have interesting dynamic. And it's just like an interesting crime drama that's witty.
Well, all you have to say is Nathan Fillion, and I'm already interested, so...
Yeah, basic... mainstream, what do you call the, like, Fox, NBC, what do you call those stations? Primetime stations?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, so I watch, like, House and How I Met Your Mother, and those are all fine.
Those are solid. Those are solid picks. Nothing super new there. Those have both been going on for a while.
Like I said before, like the only thing I'm really interested in that once get really picked up is Perfect Couples.
That one on NBC.
Yeah, I really hope that gets renewed. And a show just premiered last week that I liked, Chaos.
So you like that?
I did like that.
I saw the promo for it and I thought it looked
really cheesy. The promos are awful.
Okay.
I didn't know anything about the show going in.
Right.
But it's pretty much this this rookie guy trying to get into the CIA, and then the CIA is like, nope, we don't have a job for you, we have budget cuts. People sing Chuck. And that Chuck CIA is complete bullshit where they have millions of dollars.
Well, Chuck is all the way cheesy.
Yeah.
But I saw the promo for Chaos and it looked like it was cheesy, but maybe not all the way cheesy, so I didn't know if that
was. So this goes like the complete opposite of Chuck, where the CIA is a government agency and they're super broke. Like, there's a joke in the beginning where the guy steals a computer and is like, so where'd you get that? It comes preloaded Windows 97. And then the guy's like,
That's actually pretty funny.
And then the rookie's like, what do you mean, like, you guys don't have the news? Like, do you know what this is? Like, it's the CIA. It's like, we're a government-operated company. It means we get government paychecks. It means everything's government.
That's funny. That's, okay. All right, well, that sounds okay, but that's one joke. So, I mean, there was a couple jokes in the promo that were a little less than great.
It just goes like, the rookie guy is sent in the spy on these veteran, old school, we're CIA and we don't take shit from no one.
Mm-hmm.
And then the new management's trying to be like, budget-wise, like, I don't want to take risk. If you can't get 100% guarantee, we're not doing it.
Mm.
So he's trying to edge those guys out, but those guys have, like, higher-up backing because they've been around for a while. So he sent those new guy in to try to spy him out, and the new guy just, he doesn't really care. He just wants to be a CIA agent. So these veteran guys aren't stupid, and they knew he was a spy right away. So they blackmail him. So he gets all pissed off. So, like, eventually during the episode, they kiss and make up, and they become a team.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what the new season's that's a new series gonna be about, like, these four dudes doing missions and.
Okay, whatnot. So I mean, so action comedy.
Action comedy.
Veterans,
no, it's not like Chuck, like, super crazy action all the time. It's more like NCIS crime drama where there's like a little action, and when the action's like makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, once again, like, I watched a lot of season of Chuck before it got really dumb. And they just throw in action, like, every 2 seconds.
Right.
And, like, the main character, Zach Levy, cannot fight. And it's really obvious that he cannot fight. Like, he tries really hard,
mm-hmm.
but he can't be both nerdy and super buff to fight.
And we're talking about Chuck.
Yeah, Zach Levy. Okay. That's the guy's name.
All right. I watched one episode of Chuck.
Another great show that I'm really into is called Marcel's Quantum Kitchen on Sci-Fi.
What the hell? Oh, it's on Sci-Fi. Okay, I was going to say, I can't say I've heard of that. That sounds interesting. Like, just the name alone has got me intrigued.
Well, Marcel was a contestant on Top Chef, which I also watch, and he was the biggest asshole on Top Chef. Like, no one likes him. But all of his dishes do really well. Like, he was the runner-up on his season.
Okay.
So he's good. He's a complete asshole.
Okay.
So this new show
focuses. So obviously he's going to the Sci-Fi channel to find his new home for cooking.
It's mostly because he does a new kind of cooking called Molecular Gastronomy, and it fuses science with cooking.
That sounds dangerous.
Like, he messes around with liquid. Like, he's really big on fake food, where he takes regular food and try and manipulate it to taste like other stuff.
Like, that sounds crazy.
No, it's crazy. Like, he took watermelon and sucked all the juices of watermelon, mm-hmm. and then soaked his own marinade. And when it was done, it looked like tuna, and it tasted like tuna.
What the hell?
But the texture was like watermelon.
That's weird.
And he did this.
It sounds interesting. I'll give you that.
It's really interesting. Like, if you like cooking shows but don't really care about, like, I'm not gonna cook. Like, I just think, like, it's interesting.
You're not gonna cook me some watermelon tuna.
No.
You can't do that for me?
Dude, I might make you some mac and cheese made out of just cheese.
And tuna? I can't get over the tuna thing. I'm sorry. It's so strange to me.
Like, I highly recommend, like, it's just, and the editing, like, they took a very average show. Mm-hmm. Like, it'll be funny and that stuff's cool. But it's some really cool editing with, like, hexagon shaves, and then, like, he'll explain some term, and then it'll just be a pop-down little notepad mm-hmm. saying, yo, this is what this term means.
Oh, okay. So this is a real thing. This is not a fictional show. This is not scripted.
This is his catering business. And what I don't really understand is, I think this might be like TV drama to be back, but like he has a catering business. And I was like, okay, the party's in 2 days. And he just goes like, ah, oh, that's a lot of stuff to get done in 2 days.
Yeah, they always seem to have super short timelines on those TV shows. You think if you ran your own business, you would give yourself a little bit more time than 2 days to...
And, like, he tries really hard because he's really known for being that asshole on Top Chef. Mm-hmm. So you can see him holding back.
Trying to be the nice guy.
Like, it's really, like, you can see in his face that he just wants to blow up on this pitch. It's like, gotta hold back a little bit. Until he doesn't, and he blows up on people.
So you got this crazy drama cooking show.
It's not really
an egotistical anger maniac.
Egotistical, but...
Like, making fake, crazy mutation food. That sounds perfect for the Sci-Fi Channel. That, I can see why you like this now.
Like, so. I highly recommend... And, also watch a lot of Top Shot.
Okay, I can't blame you for that. I wish I watched more of that.
But. I'm going to integrate this one point in here real quick. Throughout this entire podcast, I'm going to refer to reality TV as in two ways. Competition reality TV, like your Top Chef and your Amazing Race and the Wipeouts to a lesser degree.
Okay.
And then there's like the Real Housewives and
Right. Sure. Where it's like you're just kind of following people around
Right.
and watching them. Like, voyeuristic.
Yeah, I'm really a fan of the competition one. Like, I like rooting for people, mm-hmm. and, like, I like that guy, don't like that guy.
Mm-hmm. You like watching fat people work out?
No, that's not a competition.
The Biggest Loser is totally a competition.
They don't get, like, a prize, they're just getting healthy.
No. The winner gets a quarter of a mil.
Really?
Yeah, 250,000.
Watching fat people all the time does not seem interesting. I like pretty people on my TV.
I like watching fat people work out while I eat a bowl of ice cream. It makes me really enjoy my life. Going, oh, I can eat this, and I'm not super fat.
Yeah, that's all for TV. Movies. Watch Battle LA.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that.
Yeah.
What'd you think? Tell me your thoughts on Battle LA.
I like Aaron Eckhart a lot.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You said something earlier to me before we started this about something that you took issue with. It's not a spoiler, right?
No, it's not a spoiler. It's not an issue. It's just, like, it's interesting that the director let that pass. Because I would imagine a director spends a lot of time watching... and editing a lot of
stuff. Why don't you tell everybody what we're talking about
here? So there's this one scene where Aaron Eckhart is a Marine, and he has...
Well, there's many scenes where Aaron Eckhart is a Marine.
I'm trying to continue. But he has his M16, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's shooting at the aliens.
Okay.
And he tells everyone to advance. And as they're advancing, he cuts to a scene of Aaron Eckhart with a sidearm. And then it goes to the aliens running away. But then it goes back to Aaron Eckhart on his M16, running into ammo, and then switching to a sidearm.
So what you're telling me is there's aliens.
No, what I'm telling you is he had an M16,
right,
and then magically had a sidearm, and then went back to his M16, ran out of ammo, and then go to a sidearm.
I see.
And it's just, like, weird, because I would, like, I just kind of thought, like, they shot that one scene, and then meant it for later.
Right. Well, I can attest that it's not a movie-breaking thing, because I saw it in theaters and didn't even notice this. So.
It's not movie-breaking. It was. I just thought it was interesting
Right.
that a director would let that slip by, because most directors are usually really meticulous on
Right.
editing.
Well, small little errors slip by from time to time. Like, I remember watching a show on VH1 a while back where it was actually pretty interesting.
This is a show on VH1. They didn't really care about editing.
No. But it was actually really interesting. It was not one of those, like, I love the everythings. It was, like, you know what I'm talking about. They were picking apart movies and, like, little plot holes and little things they screwed up that slipped by the editing.
Oh, okay. Like, makes more sense now.
Right. And, like, one of the bigger ones was Russell Crowe in Gladiator refers to his wife early in the movie. He's telling someone of his wife.
Right.
And he says she's one hair color. Like, I don't know. I don't remember that closely, but I think he says, like, she's a brunette or something, and then it turns out that she's a different hair color later in the movie, so they screwed that up. He might have just been improvising or something, but yeah, small little things like that.
Improv. He's fucking Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe just can stand in front of a camera and magical
happen. But more recently, I saw Source Code in theaters.
Yes.
Really good.
Yes.
I really liked that a lot.
Me too.
What's the director's name again?
Duncan Jones.
Duncan Jones directed Moon, another great movie. That's the only movie he's directed, so his pedigree so far is two really good movies.
Yes, two for two. I would agree. The guy is on fire right now.
If you haven't seen Source Code, it's Jake Gyllenhaal, and he's built up to his device and allows him to travel to this one point in time, and has 8 minutes to figure out who planted this bomb on his train.
Mm-hmm.
So, without getting too, like, spoiler into the story.
Yeah, you can't say too much about that.
No, that's the basic premise.
Right.
So he's trying to figure out, and then he has 8 minutes, and once he doesn't figure out, he goes back to the little capsule he's in,
mm-hmm.
and then he has to go back and try to figure out who planted this bomb.
Right. I really enjoyed it. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of movies that tend to go back and do the same thing over and over again. What was that one movie where the guy gets shot on the podium and then you see it from multiple different... Vantage Point.
Oh, I hated Vantage Point.
So that's like how you show repetition wrong. But Source Code, he keeps going back to the same train 8 minutes before it blows up.
But
it's different every time. It's different every time.
Yeah, whereas Vantage Point, it was the exact same scene every time.
Right.
With a little small editing, like they just cut away from the screen.
Right. Well, that's what I'm trying to say. Is like
30 minutes.
When you say he keeps going back, because he dies multiple times on the train, because the train blows up after 8 minutes, and then he has to restart. It's kind of like game over, load last checkpoint kind of thing.
He's kind of creating like a little alternate universe where he's constantly changing, but he needs to find out what happened to that
bomb. Right, and it's slightly different every time. It's not the exact same thing that plays through, so it's not like you're watching the same scene 5 times over the course of the movie. It's actually really interesting. And even though I think it veers kind of off course at the end into some kind of weird, very, very sci-fi heavy elements, it's still a really good movie. Like, if it was like 5 minutes shorter, like just trim off that last five minutes.
If you're really bored, I wouldn't say it this week, but you should definitely go see Source Code. For sure.
I don't want this podcast to just be turning into like, we like this, go see this. But at the same time, go see Source Code and Archer and Community.
And you say that, but no, we're going to talk about like what we think about
it. I know.
So,
is there anything that you've seen recently that you didn't like? Because we've just been talking about things that we have liked.
I kind of tend to wait for the things that like I don't like.
Well,
no. There is one thing I really don't like.
Okay.
I forget her name. Dana Delaney, I think,'s new show on ABC called Body of Proof.
Ah, yes. I saw the promos for that, too.
Yeah, huge promos, huge advertisements. Awful show.
Yeah?
Just absolutely awful.
Yeah, it looked like generic.
It's not even
extreme.
Generic. All right, so she's a medical examiner. And a medical examiner job is... Shit, what'd you call
it? So we're talking about bones?
No.
Okay. I'm just making sure. So this is a new show. Okay.
New show. Okay. Medical examiner's job is to autopsy a body, find out the cause of death.
Okay.
And then, if necessary, hold the body for a while and run tests on it to find out further information what they need.
Mm-hmm.
That is their job.
Right.
That is not what she does.
What does she do?
What she does is she finds that out, and then she goes, "Well, why did this happen? Why did this person decide to jump? Why blah, 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 blah?" And it's mostly about her and her wreck of a life and what happened to her in the past.
Oh, I can't.
And mostly about her, not a lot about the case.
That sounds like that older show Medium. Do you remember that show?
I do remember Medium. I didn't like that much either.
I didn't like that show either because I remember thinking like, oh, we have this like supernatural psychic kind of person. I don't know, like, not just psychic, but she communicated with the dead. And I thought that was interesting, and then it turned out to be more about just her and her life, and I'm like, yeah, I don't really care.
Also, for a case, having a psychic, it's pretty much, anyone can just blow through that. Like, there's enough skeptics in the world to try to get 12 people on a jury all to believe this one chick actually saw what she saw.
Right.
So now, that's another problem with I have with this medical examiner show is, she tries to be a cop.
That tends to happen a lot.
That's why I don't like CSI. Because those tech guys need to do tech things.
Right.
They cannot focus on that one case all the
time. Right. Yeah, there's like a
but
lot of
not only does she try to be a cop, but she offends the cop. But the cop's a huge asshole, doesn't take her opinion on it. Like, if you're a cop, you need to take all the information and try to solve the case.
Mm-hmm.
He ignores the information and does what the hell he wants.
So we have a medical examiner not doing her job.
Well, she does her job in the sense like, hey, this is how she died.
Okay, but she's going above and beyond what she's supposed to do.
Yeah.
And there's a cop that doesn't do anything, pretty much.
Well, he arrests people after just giving up to her.
Oh, see, that's what I wish, like, and I don't want to say I wish there was a good cop show, because I'm sure there's 100 cop shows.
Yeah, like Law and Order.
Okay, we're getting away from Law and Order.
No, it's not. We're never going to get away from
okay.
Law and Order.
Okay, well, what I'm saying is, like, I always hate it, like, when the cops are, like, the dumb people that rely on everybody else and they can't do anything for themselves, you know. Like, I'm sure Law and Order is different, not that I'm super familiar with it, but...
I feel like you're judging on a show you haven't watched. I feel like...
Well, I don't want to watch Body of Proof.
No.
If that's what you're trying to say.
I always try to... If someone says series premiere, I'll watch it. And then I'll, like...
Give just one episode? Is that the most you'll give a show?
No, I'll give it two or three.
Two or three?
Like, that William Shatner, Bleak My Dad Says... took me one episode to figure out I hated it. And then I tried a second episode. I couldn't even finish it.
See, my thing is all about the promos. Like, a promo has to grab me because my time is precious.
I know for a fact that some promos are really good, like that Danny Lane ones. Promos are pretty good. Mm-hmm. Got me people interested.
Mm-hmm.
And when it actually shows, that's all marketing. That's the studios betting, this show will do really well, so let's make it do well. This show will probably attract an audience. We can, eh.
We can, eh?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, just kind of like, hey, there's a new show.
I gotcha.
Premiere. Watch it.
Speaking, well, okay, so are we done with...
TVs?
Done with what you've been doing this week? Or you haven't even mentioned any games. Let's hear what games you were playing this week.
It's been a pretty dry month for games. Like, I beat Dragon Age 2, but that was, like, a while ago.
I wouldn't say it was dry. It definitely had a couple of high-profile releases. It's just pales in comparison for what's to come.
That's true.
Like, because you had Dragon Age 2 this month, which you've already played through. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, that's, like, more recent. But most recently, I'm playing Final Fantasy 13 again on the PS3.
Again, hard on for Final Fantasy.
Real big hard on for Final Fantasy. But not only have I been playing Final Fantasy...
Mm-hmm.
I have picture in picture. And I don't really need sound to battle and grind and do the story of Final Fantasy because I already know it.
Well, because you've already beaten it before.
Yeah, like,
because I was going to say, like, there's probably some Final Fantasy person out there going, you're playing Final Fantasy 13 without sound? You're an idiot, you know?
No, like, I've been, like, I'll pause and switch it for the cutscenes. But I have picture in picture and I'm watching Law and Order on the other TV.
To be fair, all you have to do to win in Final Fantasy 13 is just press one button over and over again and run straight.
For the beginning, yeah. Like, later on, it gets more complicated. Like, okay. Later on, I actually dictate what battle.
I know. I just remember a lot of people said that about that game. I have it, and I'm like 3 hours in, which is like...
Yeah, they hold your hand for until you get to the actual RPG part of the game where, like, you can go wherever you want and grind and level up and do that stuff. But for the main story, you pretty much hit auto battle.
Right.
And then win.
Yeah. That's when picture-in-picture comes into place. So are you watching TV on the big picture or the little picture?
They're even.
Wait, 50-50 picture-in-picture?
Yeah, like, you have different size picture-in-picture. You don't know this because you don't have it, but, like, there's a tiny box for, like, you want to see what's on another station.
Uh-huh.
Like, you're watching two TV shows and you want to switch to the commercial and switch back.
Right. I've seen that before.
Right, and then you have the slightly larger box.
I've never seen the slightly larger box.
So there's a slightly larger box, not that much bigger.
Okay.
Just so you can see it better.
Okay.
And then you have the big box, which just pretty much splits it down the middle. And there's a letter box, so it doesn't, like, contrast ratio doesn't go crazy.
Right. That blows my mind, though. I didn't realize you could have 50-50 going each way.
Like, I think your TV actually can do that. You just don't
I've scoured my remote and TV settings for picture-in-picture settings, and I have not found any. Trust me, I would be playing picture-in-picture all the time with some of the dull games that I end up playing on the Xbox.
Because I think your TV is newer than mine.
No, it is. It is. I mean, it's fairly old now, but it was still, like, pretty high-tech when I got it a few years ago. Hmm.
So, yeah, that's basically mainly what I've been playing.
Nothing about Dissidia Duodecim.
Oh, yeah.
Duodecimal
system. I totally forgot I've been playing that. Like,
yeah.
I play that very sporadically.
You've been playing that enough to where it just seeps into your subconscious, you don't even remember it.
It's pretty
just,
much,
it
like...
It becomes a part of your life.
It's Super Street Fighter, but for a Final Fantasy fighting game.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it does.
Well, explain yourself. I don't see what you're trying to say.
Street Fighter 4 comes out, and then, like, a year later, Super Street Fighter 4 comes out, where it's the exact same game, but they add, like, 4 or 5 characters.
Oh, okay. All right.
So this is literally the first game built into this, like, half a game, where they have 6 characters, and then the story revolves around 6 characters, and then once you beat that, you unlock the first game.
So what you're telling me is, instead of it being Dissidia 2, it should just be Super Dissidia.
Yes.
Like an expansion of Dissidia.
Dissidia Duodecim Super or whatever crazy.
That title is horrible.
Yeah.
Duodecim. It's like 012 Duodecim or something like that.
Which, I guess there's a reason behind it. Wherever the fuck Square Enix is thinking, I don't know what it is.
Square Enix doesn't think a lot of times when they name things. Their naming is absolutely out of control.
Also, their games have been kind of hit and miss lately.
They've been on the downslope, but I think they're going to get better.
But their production's so high. Like, Final Fantasy 13 is so pretty.
And that was a game that came out last year.
Yeah, and Dissidia, really good on the PSP. Like, there's a PSP game that looks, like, awful.
Yeah, I've seen that. The graphics, at the very minimum, are really good on that. Like, I know they just came out with birthday this month, too.
No, the game's fine, but I played Dissidia already.
Right, so it's pretty much just Dissidia 1, that's what you're telling me.
Yeah, except for these 6 new characters, which is... their
eye. It's just not enough to warrant.
No, it's not enough for, like I kind of bought it because my brother really wanted it, mm-hmm. and then I can play it too.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's warrant for anyone to go like, oh man, Dissidia came out.
You know, it's a good game that takes the formula of the previous game, but instead of adding 6 new characters, adds 155 new characters. Pokemon White.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I'm
just saying, Pokemon hasn't changed in like 10 years.
Well, mm-hmm. you're saying Dissidia hasn't changed in like 2 years.
Yeah.
So, touche. I'm not sure what just happened.
No, you just mean like a 0 point effort.
Okay.
So, yeah, that brings to the end of that segment.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, that went well. First time through.
Yeah.
No one died. All right, we're doing...
Well, why would anyone die?
I don't know.
So, let's talk about what we're going to watch.
What we want to watch, what we're excited to watch, because I got
new releases this week.
So I got a bunch of things.
Let's hop straight into there.
I got a bunch of things I'm excited to watch. I'm excited to watch more In Treatment. But that, okay, you know, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I'm excited to watch more of everything I've already been watching. But on top of that, nothing super new that I'm excited to jump into in TV. Although, being a huge Aaron Sorkin fan, who is the writer of The Social Network and also did great shows like The West Wing and Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip,
mm-hmm.
I've been really craving to go back and find the show that he did before the both of those called Sports Night. Mm-hmm. It was his first TV show, according to IMDb.
Yeah, probably back in the 90s, right?
Yeah, late 90s. Right before, when it ended, he started up The West Wing, which was obviously more successful. But just his dialogue, I've been really wanting to go back and check that out. So
okay.
I'm going to look around for that, see if I can find that. It might be a little bit more obscure, but like I'm really excited to check that out. But movies is really what I'm interested in this week.
Real interested in movies this week.
Yeah, opening today. Today's Friday.
April the 7th?
April the 8th.
April the 8th.
Yes.
Today's April the 8th, right?
Right. Yeah, we got Your Highness coming out today, which I think... looks like one of the better strange comedies of the year so far. I mean,
right.
The year's been a little bit devoid on comedy, like good comedy. There's been a bunch of crappy comedies coming out.
Cedar Rapids was...
Yeah, no, I really, really liked Cedar Rapids, but I wouldn't consider that to be like a big one. Like, it's not like The Dilemma or Meet the Fockers. Was that this year?
Yeah.
Yeah? I don't know. I kind of paid no attention to that.
Yeah, but that's always been a down slope.
Yeah, so, Your Highness, I mean, James Franco, Natalie Portman.
That one dude.
yeah, that one dude, Danny McBride. They were horrible hosting the Oscars, but I think they'll be much better in an actual comedy together instead of standing on stage.
Did you know Natalie Portman did not host the Oscars, right? That was Anne Hathaway.
You're right. You're right.
Natalie Portman coming off a high.
Won a Oscar.
Won an Oscar.
I know. Whatever. So I really want to see Your Highness. I like those stoner comedy kind of things. It's by the guy that made Pineapple Express.
No, it looks funny. Like, the previous four have been pretty good.
Right.
It's been
medieval comedy with lots of foul language and more ball
the
jokes.
The movie I'm more excited about, which I'm actually quite surprised the studio has been getting so much advertisement for, because I thought it was kind of be a low-budget indie thing, is Hannah...
Right.
With Eric Bana, Kate Blanchett, and the girl from Lovely Bones.
Yes.
I'm trying to think of her name right now. I'm just going to look it up.
Yeah.
Cerise Ronan?
Cerise Ronan, I think is her name, yeah.
Yeah, she was in Lovely Bones. She also did a movie with Catherine Zeta-Jones and Guy Pearce about Houdini. And she had a weird Scottish accent. She's actually doing pretty well.
She's very pretty.
Yeah, very pretty lady.
Which is kind of weird for me to say because the only
also she's in Atonement, which is one I've been kind of wanting to see, but it's like 4 hours long. So
and it was nominated for Best Picture, but
yeah.
I never got around to seeing that.
People like it.
I feel a little guilty calling her pretty because the only thing I've seen her in is The Lovely Bones, and she's like 14.
I don't think she was 14 in that. I think she played a 14.
Well, no, she played a 14-year-old. Mm-hmm. Is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And so the only image in my head I have of her is a 14-year-old girl. But then when you're pulling up a picture of her looking at her name, I'm like, wow, she's actually very gorgeous, which is really cool. Yeah, that movie looks interesting. It kind of seemed like it came out of nowhere.
Well, I saw a trailer for it back in the day, like trailer one, premiere trailer, and I thought it was really interesting. Mm-hmm. For those of you who don't know or like haven't seen it, like it's kind of obscure with what's actually going on, but pretty much Eric Bana and Cerise
Berlin. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Father and daughter, right?
In the movie? Too sure about that, because they kind of hint that they're not actually father and daughter. Mm-hmm. But Eric Bana is like a CIA rogue agent that took her, this girl, which for now we're going to assume is her daughter, and kind of train her to be a killer.
Right.
To survive.
So you have like this gorgeous, still young-looking girl. She plays like another younger-looking girl, probably in her teens, right?
I don't know so far, but... So they train her and then sets up a trap for Kate Blanchett. Mm-hmm. Man, that's really hard to say for some
Kate
reason.
Kate Blanchett.
Sets up some sort of trap.
Blake Canchett. Keep going.
For her, and then she's supposed to kill her. Hannah's mm-hmm. supposed to kill her. Mm-hmm. But then some stuff goes awry and twists and turns, and Eric Bana doing Eric Bana things.
I like Eric Bana. I like Cerise Ronan. I like Blake Canchett.
Shut up.
So
those two are pretty much what we're really looking forward to this week.
I mean, also this week is Arthur, which yeah. I know I'm more excited for than you.
Because
I really like that comedian. Can't think of his...
Kurt Russell?
Kurt Russell. Give me a break. Russell Brand.
There you go. That, yeah. Man,
ever since I was introduced to him in Forgetting Sarah Marshall, I've kind of fallen in love with his style of like eccentric, over-the-top comedy with that real like... he can be an asshole, but he does it with like a sparkle in his eye, like a little bit of a charm.
Who's the girl in Arthur?
In Arthur?
Yeah.
Elektra. Whatever her name is. The girl that played Elektra in Daredevil and in Elektra.
I feel like we're on too much fact-checking in this.
Jennifer Garner.
Oh, thank God.
Jennifer Garner. 13,
she's kind of a two-face for
13
me.
13 like, going on 30.
Yeah, she's a little two-face for me. Like, some movies, I think she's really hot. And there's other movies, I'm like,
Elektra?
I actually never saw Elektra.
Oh, well, then you're doing yourself a favor.
Other movies coming out this week is Rio, animated film about a bird that can't fly but learns to dance his ass off.
Oh, jeez. Oh, God. So like, I couldn't even pay attention to that. I thought it was the same thing as Hop, because they're both very colorful, animated, talking animals, which is getting a little old.
Which also has Russell Brand in it, by the way.
You're right. You're right. That's a lot
and
of Russell Brand.
Dude that never gets anywhere with any women in any of his films.
I know who you're talking about. I don't think that description is good
plays,
enough.
No, he plays Cyclops.
Cyclops and X-Men.
Yeah,
yes.
Got shit. He did Enchanted. Got shit in that. Superman. Had to compete against Superman. Sorry, man.
Well, it's a bummer, too, because he's a good-looking guy. I'm trying to find Hopper so I can find his name so people can know what the hell we're talking about. There it is, Hopper.
Also coming out this week that some people might Keanu Reeves in the movie.
Oh, yeah. Henry's Crime.
So explain the premise for this, because I still don't understand.
Okay. I've seen the trailer. So based on the trailer, I will give you my synopsis of what the movie is about. So Keanu Reeves is being sad, because he's Keanu Reeves, and he's good at that sad look.
No, he's not just good at it. He's had a really rough couple years, though.
I know. So who better to be sad than Keanu Reeves? So he's being sad, and then he gets arrested for robbing a bank. But he didn't rob a bank. He's an innocent guy. He gets put away, and he's kind of confused. He befriends...
James Caan.
James Caan, a gruff... prison James Caan, who decides when they get out they're going to be good friends, they're going to be prison buddies in real life. So they
apparently
get out.
Happens a lot.
I don't know.
I take criminal justice classes and it happens a lot.
Okay, all right. Well, I mean, I'd be friends with James Caan no matter what. I mean, that guy's beastly.
Hopefully stabbing him back in a second.
But anyway, back to this crazy movie. So Keanu Reeves goes to jail for a crime he didn't commit. Meets a gruff inmate played by James Caan. They get out, and then they decide, since they've already committed, or were already accused of committing the crime, they might as well commit the crime. That doesn't make any sense to me.
No.
I feel like you don't want to go back. You didn't do it the first time. Why try it first time? I don't know. It's a very strange... The trailer doesn't do a great job of explaining what's going on, but there's a line where they say... We already were accused of it, so we might as well do it. And James Caan says it's a win-win for me because if we get caught, I like prison, something like that. I have faith in James Caan and Keanu Reeves because I like them as actors, but the movie sounds dumb. that whole premise just falls apart is what I'm trying to say. I can't even figure out. Well,
there are a lot of prisoners out there that adapt and feel safe in prison.
But this is a guy that was accused of a crime he didn't commit and was thrown in jail.
That's Keanu Reeves. I'm talking about James Caan here.
I know, but I'm saying it seems like he wants to go commit the crime after he gets out. I don't know. This is based off just the trailer. I'm sure there's probably more, and maybe the trailer didn't do a good job of explaining it.
Yeah, what else is out?
There's Soul Surfer.
Which the promos for TV makes it sound like a woman empowerment film where the surfer loses an arm in a shark accident. So, for surfing, you kind of need two arms to paddle. I don't know understand how this girl is going to get up on the board to surf.
With her soul. She's surfing with soul.
Right. So that's kind of the premise of the movie is, hey, I'm down on my luck, but since I'm a woman, I can get back up on this board and
surf. That sounds real sexist.
It's not me, it's the movie that...
Okay, I'm just saying. Would you say the same thing if it was a guy that was surfing with one arm?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Surfing with soul.
I'm not huge in like those movies like, oh man, something tragic happens and I gotta overcome it.
Right. Yeah.
I feel like it's just a generic plot line.
Right. To be fair though, that happens in almost every superhero movie where whenever they win, I was thinking about this the other day, since there's a deluge of upcoming superhero movies over the summer. But I was thinking about it, and it always just bums me out that it's always the same thing where they don't have superpowers, they get superpowers, they struggle to learn them, they get really good at them, and then they use them on really weak people to where they just blow them away, they overpower them. And then when they actually fight the big nemesis that can challenge them, the nemesis somehow screws them over where they use their weakness or whatever, and so they're really, really weak. So they never actually fight at full strength against their nemesis. You know what I'm saying? Like it's like they have to overcome something again. Like, in a Superman movie, he never fights the final guy without kryptonite being...
Yeah, there. But to be fair, I really don't like Superman as a superhero in the first place.
Well, that's just an example. Like, again, with Iron Man, where he screws up his power core. So, in the final fight, he's only fighting with, like, 15% power, and it's always, like, a
really... I can see where you're coming from this, but from a villain standpoint... Why the hell would you want to fight some guy fairly?
Yeah, that's true.
Like, you're trying to win. Like, right. Doctor Doom, great villain. Doesn't play fair in any situation.
See, but that's what bums me out about superhero movies, because, like, take The Matrix, the third Matrix, Matrix Revolutions, for example. That has, like, the supervillain and the hero Neo versus Agent Smith, or Mr. Smith, right?
Mr. Smith,
right. And they fight in, like, the rain in the city at full strength each. And it's this epic occurrence, and it's this big, huge deal. And that was awesome. I love that fight scene. Now, if I go back to, a movie like Iron Man, I know, Matrix Revolutions, I hold it high and dry in my heart, but most people think it's dumb. But, like, now you go back to a movie like Iron Man, which, I also like a lot, but seeing Robert Downey Jr., at, like, 10% power, freaking out, all of his weapons are gone. And this is, like, before, like, the fight even really kind of gets going. I'm like, I'd almost rather...
What's the main villain?
In the first Iron Man?
No, in Iron Man. Like, his nemesis. The guy with the rings.
The Mandarin.
Mandarin. So you think when they introduce that character, he's going to be full-on?
I would hope so. Because
Mandarin's pretty overpowered.
Yeah, I mean, Iron Man has all kinds of cool stuff at his disposal. I used to read the Iron Man comic books, and, like, Mandarin is a super-powered badass. Like, so I'm assuming he'll be in the third Iron Man movie when that ever comes out, because he's, like, the big villain in the comics, and they've hinted at him in the previous movies. But
hopefully it'll be better than Spider-Man 3.
Hopefully it'll be better than Iron Man 2, which was also not great. Better than Spider-Man 3.
Yeah. Well, like, Iron Man 2 is fine. Like, it's just an okay film. It wasn't...
I felt like
great
there was
Iron
way
Man
too
1.
Much stuff in it. Like, it was too overpacked with, like, check this out, we're going to be in the Avengers, and check this out. Blah, blah, blah. Like, just too much Avengers stuff for me. Like,
all Marvel films are going to be for the next year.
I know. I'm really hoping that they don't... Actually, I know they will stuff Thor full of Avengers stuff. Like,
in their defense, Thor's going to have a hard character to get everyone around. I'm glad they didn't go traditional Thor where he speaks all Nordic.
Yeah, I don't know. It makes me like Marvel movies less when they're just cross-promoting like crazy and like throwing in extra characters just to be like, we're going to be in another movie.
I don't like the extra characters. I think for a movie, you need one villain. Mm-hmm. And then I think that needs to be an A-list villain.
Right.
Like
Joker in The Dark Knight.
Yeah, Green Goblin in Spider-Man 1. Dr. Octopus in Spider-Man 2.
Yeah.
Not so much Spider-Man 3 where you have like Sandman's the main guy. And Venom.
And Venom.
I'm a huge Spider-Man fan. And Venom is the number one villain that he has to fight. Some people say Green Goblin, blah, 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 blah. Number one guy he has to fight all the time.
I'm pretty sure this conversation's been had a million times now.
Over the internet,
Bitching about Spider-Man 3. Can just agree to not talk anymore about Spider-Man 3. It doesn't deserve to be talked about.
That's why I'm a little excited for the reboot. Because after whoever the first villain is going to be for the Spider-Man reboot, I think Spider-Man 2 should go straight into Venom and just start off.
That'd be cool. I'm excited to see the reboot. Like, I wasn't excited about it at first because I thought Tobey Maguire did a pretty good job. But after I saw Andrew Garfield, who's going to be the new Spider-Man, mm-hmm. as Eduardo in Social Network, I was really impressed with him. That was the first time I saw him act. And I think he has a really personality. It's really fun to watch on screen.
This opens the line for Spider-Man to be in Avengers 2.
Is Spider-Man in the Avengers?
Yeah, like, he's not, like, an official member of the Avengers sometimes, but they just call him up a lot.
Oh, okay.
Like,
yeah,
he's not
that makes sense.
Because there's an Avengers comic with Captain America and Hawkeye and whatnot,
mm-hmm.
and Hank Pym. And then they always have people come over and say, hey, we need help here. Spider-Man, all right, come on.
Yeah, he'll just be swinging up into the...
There's a lot of obscure characters that they always reference in. Like, hey, we need your help. Thanks. See you later.
Right. So... All right, so anyway, that's what's coming out. We checked the games. No big high-profile games
this week, yeah.
Really. I mean, like, there's a couple of small things coming out, but...
later in the month or a week.
April 19th is the day I'm looking forward to, because you got Mortal Kombat and SOCOM 4 and Portal 2.
All the same
day. I believe. Portal 2 might be coming out, like, a day or two later. I'm not sure. Like, I think they might have done some weird...
All these games we'll talk about in detail next week.
Yes, and even more detail once I actually have them in my hands.
Yes.
Because I have them all pre-ordered and getting all my pre-order bonuses.
I think those are the three big ones. Like, there might be some other ones.
Yeah, well, that's the only ones that I am super excited for next month. I mean, I think there's a few others, but then, like, it goes into May.
Speaking of Portal 2, we're really thrifty here at the JunkCast.
By thrifty, we mean we're poor, so we spend our money... Very carefully.
Very, very carefully. And one thing I love, and for when you ever want to buy a game and you know for sure you're going to buy that game, pre-order on Amazon.com. Because constantly they're having promotions where if you pre-order this game, we'll give you $20 in credit for your next purchase.
Right.
So I bought Halo. No, not even Halo. It came before Halo.
Red Dead
was the very first game I bought. And that gave me $20, and I used that $20 for Halo, and that gave me $20.
So it pretty much gets to the point where you're paying $20 less for every game you buy, as long as you're pre-ordering them.
Pre-ordering them, and then it has that promo.
Yes.
But you don't have to pay tax online.
Yeah. And,
which is another...
And if you pre-order it far enough in advance, they're doing this thing now where it's 99 cents to deliver it on the day of release.
Yes.
So, really, it's like going and picking up at a store, but there's no tax... The 99 cents is cheaper than going paying $4
in tax.
The only
thing that I hate about it is just waiting for that game to come.
It's exciting. We should get Amazon to somehow sponsor us so we can have some money. But yeah.
Just free promotional credit for our listeners. It's like, yes. Whoop.
Definitely go to Amazon. Fuck GameStop. I went to GameStop and canceled my pre-order on Portal 2. Dude, and they were like...
Something's happening outside right now.
Don't worry about it.
I don't know if the mic can pick that up.
but there's sirens going on out there. But I went to GameStop, and I canceled my pre-order for Portal 2, and they go, why, you don't want it anymore? And I was like, no, I definitely want it. I want it very much. I just don't want it from you guys. And they're like, well, I don't understand. I'm like, you guys don't give me $20 off my next thing, so you guys give me a stupid roll cage skin.
Yeah, I think
stupid,
GameStop is on decline with online purchasing and digital download now because there are those promotional credits where you can get $20... whatever, and Amazon.com also gives you skin. And so, like, Amazon.com right now is my go-to place
right.
to get anything I want. They always have deals. All I have to do is wait for the shipping handling. So, I guess the only benefit from retail stores, I can just go in and pick it up whenever I want.
Right. So yeah, that pretty much wraps up what's coming out. We'll just briefly go over news because we're close to an hour here. So
I don't know if, like, I have all the time in the world to listen to an hour.
No, but I know. But I mean, we don't want to run on forever here, so we'll briefly go over some.
I don't think there's anything like big news coming up.
I'll go over some news that I heard of, just in kind of different things. One, I know that
something's seriously going on outside.
I know that No Ordinary Family is on the verge of being canceled. They don't know if that.
Also, I watched that show.
I know you do. I know you do.
Is that something I like?
How do you feel about it maybe not coming back?
I'll be a little disappointed because I'm really interested in, like, the powers aspect. Like, they just defeated a major villain, like, the entire season, and then they introduced another villain.
Well, they might have to defeat him real quick, or not defeat him.
Her.
Okay. Because yeah. They might not be coming back.
She's quite evil.
Well, I hope so. She's a villain.
Like, super evil.
Other news, Duke Nukem Forever was delayed a month. That's been talked to death a bunch already, but I mean, I figure...
Also, in more important news, no one really cares about Duke Nukem Forever.
People just care that it's gonna come out eventually, and I think a lot of people find it really funny that it got delayed again. Almost it's more like a joke now than it is like a bummer, because the trailers really make it look not that great. So yeah, I mean, Duke Nukem Forever coming out in June now. Yeah, you're pulling up a sneak preview, a little clip from the Mortal Kombat web series, Mortal Kombat Legacy.
Right, and if you haven't heard anything about that, I'm sure you can look up something about it, because they did a little promotion where it's the Mortal Kombat universe told in a different way, like Scorpion's a serial killer.
Yeah, it's a very realistic, well, not realistic, but like a very dark kind of based in reality take.
Not actually, that web series is actually coming out later this month.
Yeah.
At the end of April.
Jax is played by the guy that played Black Dynamite.
Oh, really? Did not know that.
Yeah, Black Dynamite.
But finally. I think it's weird that it's a web series.
Well, I mean, it's a promotional thing. Like, video game web series aren't new. You know, it's not a new concept.
No, just like web series in general, I think it's harder to get to the public, because I don't really sit down and watch web series.
I think there's a certain audience, and I mean, like, I don't normally watch web series, but I'm really interested in this one. This one looks like it has good production.
It looks like very production. Like, it should be on TV.
Yeah.
Although, super... Like, any hero stuff on TV has not been great.
Right. I mean, it looks better than the cape.
The cape's awful.
Yeah, the cape's bad. That's
anything
not
that Summer Glau... Glau?
What the hell her Summer Glau? I don't know. She has the kiss of death. She touches her and it dies. I want her to never be a part of
Firefly. I even like Terminator.
Oh, the Sarah Connor Chronicles?
Yeah, I like that. That got canceled.
Yeah, well, Firefly. I mean, look at that.
I love Firefly.
Me too. We're not going to start talking about Firefly. We're
no, that can go on forever.
Firefly...
Dude, if you haven't seen Firefly, it's on Netflix and streaming.
Yes. Other news, they showed 4 minutes of Green Lantern. That got me super pumped for it because I wasn't sure how I felt about
the first
early
trailers. Was pretty bad. Like, it just seemed like Ryan Reynolds doing Ryan Reynolds things. And this new trailer seems like...
Shows a lot of action. Shows it's actually, like, much more serious than, like, the first trailer made it look.
So, I want to talk into that real quick. Not so much as Green Lantern.
Okay.
But throughout summer... We're going to go with Thor right off the bat next month.
Yes, in May,
In May, which I'll go see. I'm not expecting high things.
Uh-huh.
Like, I like Thor. He's really overpowered in anything he's in.
Right.
And then right after that, we got Green Lantern.
Okay.
And after that, we got X-Men, First Class.
Yep, excited about that.
Which I did not know the guy that plays X-Men, who's the guy that played Wanted.
Yeah.
It's actually Scottish, and he has a super thick accent.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He was in The Last King of Scotland.
That almost blows my mind away how Scott or any foreigner can do an American accent really well.
They're called actors. They act.
Okay. Like, but it's not vice versa. Like, American actors can't really do. Like,
well, they do sometimes, but it's not as impressive. But, like, Hugh Laurie on House has a British accent.
Yeah.
But like,
that blew me away the first time I heard that.
Yeah, when you hear his actual voice, it's like, whoa,
so
that's not
after
House.
X-Men First Class, we're going to go to Captain America with Chris Evans.
Yes.
Which, pretty good actor.
Yes, I love Chris Evans.
Really like Chris Evans.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Chris Evans.
So, either one or two things are going to happen in the summer. Either you're going to be really pumped for superhero movies next year, or you're going to be really burnt out superhero movies for next year.
I feel like it depends on the quality of the films. And I mean, it's too early to say. I'm pumped for 3 of the 4 of them. I'm a little skeptical on how Thor's going to turn out, but I mean, I'm
really
not going to...
I'm more skeptical on X-Men First Class.
Really? Okay. Well,
I really don't care about the origins of Professor X and Magneto that much.
It's too early to say, and I mean, like, obviously we have plenty of time.
I'm also really confused. Are they going to completely ignore the X-Men Wolverine or the X-Men stuff and just, like, this is kind of a new reboot altogether?
Well, this takes place much earlier. This is, like, in the 60s with
the Universal Crisis. Beast, mm-hmm. I forget his actual name, is in this, and they've already established him coming later in the X-Men series in the movies, and they have Emma Frost, which they actually never introduced.
I know, we'll talk about that more, the chronological. Maybe we'll do like an X-Men movie marathon where we'll go watch all four X-Men movies that have come out before we go see X-Men Origins, First Class, and then we can kind of talk our audience about how it fits together, if it doesn't fit together. So, but that'll be in June. That'll be farther down the line, so we don't have to think about that right now. I mean, there's some other news floating around. Speaking of X-Men, Duncan Jones is being rumored to be on the shortlist to direct the new Wolverine movie alongside the guy. He's going up against the guy that directed Twilight Eclipse. So
I feel like the series is going to go with Twilight Eclipse.
I mean, it's hard to say. There's plenty. It's hard to say if that's true or not. Like, there's rumors floating around about.
I think brain fart here.
Well, originally it was going to be Darren Aronofsky who directed
Requiem
for a Dream and Black Swan and all that. But what are you trying to say here?
The director of Source Code.
Yeah, Duncan Jones.
Duncan Jones. For some reason, I cannot remember his name.
Notice that.
Yeah. But I think Duncan Jones will make a better movie, but I think the other guy from Twilight will make a better movie for
a bigger audience?
Yes.
Maybe. I mean, this isn't Twilight here, though. This is a different fan base. And I personally think that that the fan base of this comic book might be more rabid and more critical than the Twilight fan base. And I think that they would be really skeptical of having a Twilight director versus Duncan Jones, who I think, in terms
of anything,
nerds,
both of them can make a better movie than X-Men Wolverine.
Yeah, I think that's established. X-Men Origins Wolverine was not very good.
Not at fault of anyone that's in the movie.
It's just, it wasn't a very good script.
It was a terrible script.
But yeah, so I mean, like, not a huge amount of news right now. It's a little bit dry, but
that's kind of like building up for the summer, I feel like.
Yeah.
I feel like this is like
TV shows, movies. Games are kind of preloading summer. They don't necessarily come out during summer. They come out right before summer and right after summer. So, but that's perfect because that gives me all summer to play L.A. Noire and all these other games, Portal and Mortal Kombat and SOCOM and, more games than that.
I forget how much you space out games where I marathon through games.
I know you will.
I pick one game.
Well, it's not like you can marathon through Mortal Kombat, you know. So I don't think that's possible.
I can marathon through Mortal Kombat.
maybe you can. I don't know. So anyway, I feel like we've run on a little long here, so we're probably going to wrap it up. But thanks for joining us here on the Junkcast.
It's more like the Jankcast. How much we have this set up? High production value here.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully we're gonna get a little bit more experience as we go on with this. And
also, we totally forgot to integrate our group, the Brain Dead Junkies.
Yes,
that is the name of our Facebook page.
Yes, that's pretty much what we're going with, what we're calling ourselves. So
totally forgot to promo that in, and we're not quite sure how we're gonna integrate that with the Junkcast because we are the Brain Dead Junkies.
Right.
And the Junkcast is our podcast.
Right. I'm pretty sure that's all pretty obvious. So, but you'll be hearing more from us soon, probably about once a week. So, anyway.
Yeah, once a week every Friday.
Thanks for listening. And I'm just eager to turn this thing off. My voice is hurting now. So.
Wuss.
Yeah, so I need some water.
Come join us next week, and we'll talk about more about movies, TVs, junk, and whatever the hell we feel like.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right.